Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth, joined by Drew Galloway. We are here today to talk a little bit K-State basketball and what the Wildcats are trying to do with the final two scholarships that are open, because there's a lot of buzz right now. You can check it out over at KSO. Both of our On3 national basketball guys, Joe Timpton and Jamie Shaw, have put in predictions for Ugonna Onyinsu to commit to K-State. This is one that we said going back to last week. Things were starting to look really good for K-State, trending in that direction, and it does seem like that is something that could happen in the near future based on the intel that our On3 national guys have. And we'll talk when and if that happens, what that means for K-State and what that looks like. But we said last week that he was one of the guys on this list of the top transfers remaining that you should really want, because of what he does and what role he would serve. He would be that traditional big that you could bring in, have multiple years of eligibility remaining, and you needed more depth at that type of position. He brings that. He's a great rim protector, also grabs a lot of rebounds for you. And he did all that in just under 18, 19 minutes of play per game at Kentucky this past year. And I think you should expect good things from him. So if K-State can land Onyinsu, which it seems like they are going to, you get one spot taken care of. You then have two spots left on, or one spot left on this roster to complete the two that are open right now. In which direction would you want to go next if you're K-State? And maybe I can give it to you like this, Drew. You can make it a little bit easier on yourself. You can rank out of those players. Give me a top three on what your wish list would look like. Of the players available on that best list right there.
Oh boy. So assuming Onyinsu ends up going to K-State, I think that probably in my book would eliminate Coleman Hawkins. I don't know how you could really make that fit, because in a weird turn of events, you'd think that K-State kind of gets a little bit too big if they were to add Coleman Hawkins as well. Because I'm just not sure how he'd fit alongside a Chor and an Onyinsu. So I think that my number one would be Jameer Watkins from Florida State. I just think that he's probably the perfect fit in terms of what K-State's really looking for in their next spot, because they probably need a wing, and he's the best wing available. 6'7", can really fill it up, can really score the ball, can really shoot, can really defend. And he was an NBA draft entrant that ended up withdrawing his name from the draft, and was one of the last ones to do it. So I think that he's probably my number one. Number two, I know that he's not really like a true wing, but Wuga Poplar still being out there is kind of an intriguing name. 6'4", he can also really shoot, and I'm really interested to see how Wuga Poplar could kind of explode at his next school, because he was never the first or second option in his time at Miami. So to see him kind of be like a second, third option at a school like K-State would be kind of interesting. I also like Cam Christie from Minnesota, and it's pretty close between him and Wuga Poplar in that second, third spot for me. And to be honest, like Cameron Christie, the most interesting thing for me about him is that he actually has 3 years of eligibility remaining. So if he were to end up staying, he could be like a real big corner piece for the future and not just this next season.
Yeah, I mean, that's one that would be probably a good look. And honestly, like based on what's available, and you kind of combine what I think could be done this year and moving forward, that would, in a world where I'm not trying to be as realistic about this, that would be probably number one for me, just because of the years that are left available there, three of them, as opposed to just one from Watkins, is the way that I would kind of look at it. But I don't think that is necessarily in play. We haven't heard a ton of noise when it comes to K-State and what will go on there. Now, here is one like fascinating thing about how this will play out. I do think that we might be able to have a conversation here about Arthur Kaluma, because I think people are going to be interested in that. But I, number one for me in terms of my realism and what I think is in play would be Jameer Watkins. It seemed like for a stretch there, not many knew what exactly was going on. Maybe K-State had faded away there, but now they've kind of come back into it, it would seem. So he would be my number one. Coleman Hawkins would be my number two. I just really like Coleman Hawkins' game. I like the versatility. And I think that if you're talking about guys that could step up and maybe take over and lead in a bigger role, I think that he has a little bit more of that than Wuga Poplar does. And I know some people are going to be like, well, but like the numbers are better there for Poplar. Poplar just a lot more consistent in terms of what he did on a regular basis when you look at his averages. But Coleman Hawkins has the ability to be the best player on the floor. And I get what you're saying about like the fit and you might end up getting too big. That's very possible with that, but Coleman Hawkins' game, the way that he plays, it's not like a traditional 6'10 guy. Like if you needed to just go absolutely massive on the floor, you could get away with it with Coleman Hawkins because he has the size and the athleticism to do it. And obviously the offensive game, he can do about anything that you need from him. So I just really like a lot of what he does there. And I think you could make it work. Now, if you go and look at what Illinois did this past season, like Coleman Hawkins never once played at the three in their 10 most used lineups. So like that's something to keep in mind. Most of the time he was either playing the four or he was playing the five and they were going a little bit smaller, but just that was based on what the personnel that they had. Like you look at their roster, they felt like they were better off because, you know, four of their five best players didn't touch 6'9". Actually more than that. If you want to get deeper into that, in reality, they didn't have a single player this season that played that was taller than 6'9", except for Coleman Hawkins. Dane Danger was 6'9". He was the other big. Outside of that, it was, they were having to go a little bit smaller. So I think it can work with him. And then number three, I would agree with you. I do think Wuga Poplar is the guy. The shooting is really exciting there. We talked about it. Every time we've talked basketball recruiting, it's that the shooting has gotten so much better on this K-State team already. And you would give Big 12 teams legitimate fits with the amount of shooters that you would put on this team. It would make it really tough for them. And to bring Kaluma into this mix, because I know that people are still probably wondering, well, like, could he come back? What's going to go on here? To me, I just think, like, it's probably not going to happen. There are better options than Arthur Kaluma out there right now, but you could convince me that, hey, maybe having a little bit more retention and familiarity with guys on this roster isn't a bad thing. And certainly Arthur Kaluma could play a position that K-State could use. It would be beneficial to them this upcoming season. So I could be sold on that. And certainly if that's where this thing ended up, which again, I don't think it's going to, nobody should be disappointed about that. But I do think K-State, as we see, if they do land on Yinso, they have some really good options that they're hot on the trails of to fill that final scholarship spot.
Yeah, I could be talked into bringing Arthur Kaluma back, and like I would be more than okay with it. I just have my doubts about it happening at this stage. I just think that kind of where everything is going in that sense, it just seems like that's kind of been faded away. Just there's a lot of factors going against K-State. Number one, he's in the transfer portal, so that hurts right away. And then it's just going through the draft process. You don't see guys that enter the draft process and enter the portal usually come back to that original school. So I've kind of given up on that as well. But it is intriguing that there's a lot of names still out there. And I think that we're going to kind of see that this could be a fast and furious finish. Because you had guys that just pulled out of the NBA draft coming back to school that are in the portal. And I imagine that most of them want to just kind of be done and get to their next school and start their summer workouts and move in and kind of do all of that stuff in a hurry. So I would imagine that the roster is probably complete pretty shortly.
Yeah. Do you want me to challenge you like I do whenever we talk football recruiting? How many commits by this date? Do we get the final two spots filled by we'll say a week from now, June 11th, next Tuesday. Do you think that they're all filled by then?
Maybe not by June 11th, but you could talk me into by
Father's Day.
By Father's Day, I could be talked into that. I just think that with how everything is going and how calculated everything has kind of been with Don Yenso visit even being broken during the dead period, that I wouldn't be surprised if another visitor comes in pretty quickly and ends up committing and signing and all of the things, and K-State's roster is full.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I also want to point out to people that the Royals lose 6 of 7 and Drew hops on the Braves bandwagon. He's going with the Braves today.
The Braves have been worse. So I got to support them. And it's my girlfriend's shirt too. So it was the first shirt that I saw in my closet this morning. I was like, Braves shirt. We'll rock this one.
Good point. So, the Braves are only 9 games over .500. The Royals are still 11. So
yeah, Braves are worse and lost Acuna. So
yeah, that's true. Thoughts and prayers to Ronald Acuna. RIP, not dead.
It's a split fandom. So, you know, it's fun when the Braves are good, when the Royals were bad. Now it's like I have two good baseball teams. And you know, when I've gone to the Braves, they've won. And the last, like, 4 times I've gone to the Royals, they've also won. So maybe I'm just the good luck charm.
That's quite the streak, because it's been a long time since I've seen a Royals win in person. It's not like I just don't go to games. I go to quite a few. This is a longstanding streak, but I'm going to see them in Texas in a couple weeks. So we'll see if they can pull it off then. And then I think I'm going to see them play like the White Sox after the All-Star game or something. Oh, so
there you go.
If they don't win that game, shut it down. Hurt. Yeah, I'm probably not ever going to another game again.
But, well, your issue is that you keep going to opening day. Royals, I feel like, have struggled on opening day at home recently.
Well, so I first went to opening day 2019. Nobody cares about this, but I first went in 2019. Brad Keller shut down the White Sox. They got a win. I did not go, obviously, in 2020 for obvious reasons. 2021, I did not go. There was an embargo on me leaving Wichita, basically. My wife was like, nope, we're trying to buy a house. Like, no extra expenses. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to impact us buying a house if I spend $30 on a Royals ticket. But didn't get to go. They beat the Rangers. Then I went the next year, Bobby Witt Jr.'s debut, saw his, you know, go-ahead hit. In the eighth inning. So they had success the last 2 years. It has not gone well for me though. So we'll see. We'll see what comes about it. And hopefully they get a big win over Cleveland tonight. So that'll do it for us. That's Talking Baseball with Mason and Drew at the end of this. And if you want more about the stuff that you're actually wanting us to talk about, and that's K-State football and basketball, head over to kstateonline.com. Tons of great updates from Drew on visitors from the weekend and also guys that just got offers and camped at K-State. And we'll keep you in the know and give you the news immediately when K-State gets a commitment. Could it be Uguna and Yenso? We'll find out. Also, I want it to be known out there, we don't have to say Uguna the whole time. He goes by Ugo. So that makes it a lot easier on people. So Ugo is what we can refer to him as if the Wildcats end up getting him. And if for some reason he's not a cat, then we'll probably never say his name ever again. So that's up to him to decide on if he wants us to do that or not. So
yeah, Wyatt's gonna have a lot of practicing to do if Uguna ends up coming to K-State, because holy cow.
Yeah, the pronunciation guide this upcoming season, it will be doing some serious work, because, I mean, you do get the benefit of having like a couple of Joneses on the team, and the first names aren't crazy either. They're just like standard, like CJ and Max. You've heard that name a time or 70 in your life, but then you know, some of the others you're gonna have to watch out, because. I've been saying Brendan Hausen's name wrong the entire time. I thought it would be Hausen. It's Hausen. I found that out over the weekend. That was upset of the year.
Yeah, that blew my mind. That was kind of like when I figured out that Kyle Rockers' name is Rockers and not Rakers. Like when I heard Hausen's name, I was like, Are we sure that that's correct?
Yeah, I still want to have a conversation with Kyle's family about that. It throws me out every time I hear that. But I will also say that however Chris Kleiman says it is how I will say it, because that man does not care how you pronounce your name. He pronounces it his way, or he's just not going to say your name at all. So take your pick. Drew's laughing. He knows it's true. I mean, he's still in all these years. There are a couple guys that he's just like, this is the name that I thought you had. I'm going to roll with it.
Yeah, Nate Matlock was the one that just keeps coming to my mind. Is that like for 4 years, that's all we heard. And everybody would just look around and like, and nobody wants to correct him. But it's like, oh, God. Yeah, that always does crack me up.
Do you think that's why he transferred?
Somebody should ask. No, because last year, like midway through the season, he switched it up and said his name correctly. So maybe that's why.
Maybe so. I don't know. They're just fascinating things with names in college sports and the amount of like, I have tried, trust me, to find pronunciations for these guys at times. Not every athletic department is as good as K-State is about just like having that readily available for you. Some of them, it's like they're not there at all. So then I'm going and I'm watching like crappy highlights and waiting for 15 minutes for them to say the player's full name. So sometimes you just don't get it. But again, go ahead.
Shout out to Mitch Fortner for the Movi Ike Garuka pronunciation, because I wouldn't have even known where to start.
Yeah, publicly, I've never said that name wrong. It's never come out of my mouth wrong, because I used to not ever attempt it, and then he committed, and Mitch had it instantly with his JUCO head coach. So, shout out to Mitch, which classic PA guy move right there. So we'll get out of here because nobody cared about the last 5 minutes of the show. That's all right. For Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching K-State Online. Back again tomorrow with more news and talk on the Cats.